grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. John chapter 6, verse 4. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. And from the Introit for this day, the 66th chapter of Isaiah, the 10th verse, Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. If you'd gone to church on this fourth Sunday in Lent, back in the year 1025, that's 1,000 years ago, the first word you would have heard is the word rejoice. Rejoice, because in those days, there was no organ prelude, there was no opening hymn, there was no confession of sins. The liturgy began with what we now call the Introit, which is the entrance chant. And the entrance chant on this fourth Sunday in Lent has always begun with the word rejoice, just as we heard just a few moments ago. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice with joy for her, all ye that mourn for her. And those words are followed by some words of a psalm which the Jewish pilgrims sang as they went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the great festivals of the Jewish year. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. And it is that note of joy and gladness which we hear on this Sunday in the middle of Lent, as we look forward to the joy of Easter. We heard that note of joy in the hymn we just sang. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. We know this hymn as Jesus' priceless treasure, but when we look back to the original German text, we see that the opening words of this hymn literally say, Jesus, my joy. Jesus, my joy. And it's that note of joy that marks this hymn that has long been sung in our Lutheran churches on this Sunday in the middle of Lent as the church approaches the Easter joy. We also hear that note of joy in the gospel that has always been read on this day. Because there we read, Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Passover was the greatest festival in the Jewish year, and still is. When God's ancient people Israel rejoiced in their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. But great as that deliverance was, it only foreshadowed and pointed forward to the far greater deliverance of the whole world from bondage, slavery to sin, death, and the devil. When Jesus, the true Passover lamb, offered himself for the redemption of the whole world and then rose victorious from the dead, as we'll sing at Easter, the day of resurrection, earth tell it out abroad, the Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. In the Gospel read on this mid-Lent Sunday, we hear of how our Lord Jesus provided lavishly for the hungry thousands, so lavishly that after the 5,000 had eaten, his disciples gathered up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained after all those hungry people had eaten their full. There in the wilderness, Jesus provided lavishly, just as he had provided lavishly when at his first miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, he provided lavishly for the completion of that young couple's wedding feast by providing more than 100 gallons of wine. In both these miracles, both in the multiplication of the loaves and fish, and in the changing of water into wine, we see the generous compassion of the Lord. It was C.S. Lewis who said of both these miracles, the multiplication of the loaves and fish, the changing of water into wine, Lewis said, "Here God come in the flesh, does close and small, under human hands, a workman's hands, what he's always doing in the ordinary way of seed time and harvest, lavishly providing for his children day by day." And 300 years before C.S. Lewis, Jean-Pierre de Caussade had this to say: "All that is done in us, around us, and by us conceals the action of God. If we could pierce the veil, God would show himself to us without ceasing, and we should realize his actions in everything that happens to us. To each thing we would say, 'It is the Lord.' And we would find that in every circumstance we'd receive a gift from God. We'd consider all creatures as feeble tools in the hands of an all-powerful craftsman and would easily recognize that we lack nothing and that God's continued care gives us at each moment what's best for us." In his gospel, St. John calls Jesus' miracles signs. Signs that point to who he is and what God is doing through him. Right after the miracle of the loaves and fish, Jesus unfolded the meaning of this miracle during his sermon in the synagogue at Capernaum. In providing bread for thousands, Jesus points to himself as the living bread which came down from heaven. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so in giving bread to the 5,000, Jesus is pointing to himself as the living bread come down from heaven, and he is pointing to the mystery of that holy sacrament he'd institute on the night when he was betrayed. So that just as God's ancient people Israel were miraculously fed through all their wilderness wanderings, just so we would be fed with heavenly food and drink throughout our journey through the wilderness of this world to the heavenly fatherland. We heard in the gospel that Jesus gave thanks when he provided bread in the wilderness. And Jesus gave thanks when he instituted his Holy Supper on the night before he was crucified. And for that reason, the Holy Supper is called the Holy Eucharist, which means the Holy Thanksgiving. The celebration of the Holy Eucharist is the completely natural expression of joy in the risen Lord as he provides heavenly food and drink at thousands of altars all over the world as the Lord's Day comes again, week after week, until that last day when we join the holy angels and all the saints in light at that heavenly feast of love and joy that has no end. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father.